Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to all of you here this morning for our morning worship service. So glad that you're here and come together and to join together in worship and song. Just a few announcements as we begin. If you have your bulletin note on the back there, just a few things to take note of. First of all, on Sunday, October 23rd, that's next Sunday, we're going to be making it official and that we are having a ceremony here at the church during our morning worship to really officially welcome us in to the Covenant Brethren Church. And this will also include a transferal of my ordination to the Covenant Brethren. Also, that will be a part of that. And so, really a historic moment in the life of the church as we have officially changed denominations and are coming into this Covenant Brethren as they welcome us. So I hope that you can come and be a part of that service, and it should be just a great moment in the life of the church that we would all want to be a part of. It's going to be just towards the end of the morning worship service. We'll have preaching that Sunday, but just last couple minutes, 5-10 minutes, I think, is what Grover told me, of the morning worship will be that official welcome for us as a to the denomination. Also, we're continuing our month of mission. You'll notice we're starting to gather more things up here. Listen, our month of October is running out, so if you haven't been to the store to do some shopping to help out those that are at Valley Mission, I hope that you can do so. There's a list that is still posted in the Narthex on the bulletin that you can look at and get an idea of what items are needed there. And so I hope that you're able to do some shopping and pick up some things. It's always nice to just take just items there, you know. We've had times that we had a trailer full, but I'm reluctant to say another trailer full, but that would be great too, to take a trailer full of items to Valley Mission. Also, they're still continuing to plan for the meal. I think there's something posted on the kitchen door for people that would like to donate something. I think there's soup that is still needed. Maybe all the cookies are taken care of. I'm not sure. Janet?
We need some more soup.
I need some more soup. And they're doing, is it vegetable soup, Janet? So if you can make a gallon of vegetable soup and want to donate that, they put it all together, and believe it or not, it turns out really nice. At least it did last year, and so I think it will be good as well this year. So I hope that people can take advantage of that. Also, just notice some other things that are happening here around us. There's going to be a Love Feast service at Elk Run on November the 13th that you are welcome to participate in. I will have the exact time nailed down on that. The pastor there wasn't 100% sure yet, so I'll be sure to get back with you, make sure that that's posted in the bulletin. But he did send an open invitation for all of us. Anyone here that would like to participate, be a part of that Love Feast, please come. I'll be helping to officiate in it, and so should be just a great evening of worship there at Elk Run. And Elk Run, boy, that would be a big encouragement to Elk Run to have some people from our church go and participate. A little Elk Run has just gotten down to just a few people. I think they have 4 to 5 people on Sunday. And so, boy, wouldn't that be a big pick-me-up if we come up and participate with them, just bring a little life back to them on that day. And I hope that we do. I hope that people can come and be a part of that. It should be just a good opportunity to worship there with our community brethren. Also, take note of the community Thanksgiving service, which will be at Parnassus this year, Tuesday, November 22nd, 7 o'clock. Also, we're already starting to announce some things that the children's group will be a part of, and there'll be more coming for that as well. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything that I've forgotten? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day, Lord, as we turn our hearts even towards the fall here and Thanksgiving. Lord, we just again are reminded just how blessed we are, Lord, truly every day that we get up and Lord, we have lung in our air in our lungs, rather, Lord, and we have just a house around us and clothing. Lord, we are just so blessed, and we just thank you so much for always providing for our daily needs. And Lord, we just praise you here this morning. We praise you not only because you bless us so richly, but we praise you because, Lord, you first loved us. You were willing to take upon yourself our sin, and Lord, send your Son to die upon a cross for each one of us. And Lord, we praise his name here this morning, and we glorify his name and worship the one who died for us. Father, bless us, I pray, in this time together. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. Inside your bulletin, you'll find our call to worship from portions of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they have see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You have an insert in your bulletin. That's what we're going to sing from. It's 402, "Christian, Let Your Burning Light." So we'll sing that together now.
Let your burning light shine on all with lustre bright. Let your words and deeds be pure. Oh, for Christ you must stand.
y'all remember this hymn? We hadn't sang this in a long time, at least I haven't, because it's not in the blue hymnal that we use. I was kind of surprised as I was putting together the call to worship, that little melody, Christian, let your light shine all along the way, came right into my mind. I thought, oh, we got to sing that one on Sunday. So I looked in the blue hymnal, and it's not there. And I thought, well, for pity's sake. So I looked at the newer red hymnal, it's not there. And then I looked at the old red hymnal, it's not there. And finally, I found it in the newer Brethren hymnal. And I thought, there's where I must have heard that. But it's a blessed hymn, and it reminds us that we need to be letting our light shine, don't we? Shining forth our light for Jesus. So Christian, let your light shine. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have a light to shine. And Lord, we're praying that our light might shine in a way that others will be drawn to your Son, Jesus. Lord, we want others to believe and experience, even as we have, the goodness that comes from knowing your Son, Lord, being saved by your Son, having, Lord, that personal relationship with you through your Son. Lord, we want others to experience that as well. And Lord, we do that best when we are letting the light of Christ shine forth from our life. Lord, help us to be that light. Lord, we don't want to cover ourselves with the bushel of sin, Lord, to be hidden away. But Lord, we want our light to shine so before men that many will glorify our Father which art in heaven. Lord, we praise you here this morning. We just pray that, Lord, our fire is rekindled even. Maybe our lamp has went sort of dim over the last few weeks or months or even years. Lord, sometimes we need our fire rekindled. Lord, I pray this morning that our light will be burning brighter than ever before when we hear your word and are encouraged to shine forth our light into a dark world around us. Father, we praise you this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, I want to take just a couple minutes to gather any of our prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share. I want you to continue to pray on your prayer list for Joyce Clatterball. Please continue to pray for her. And also for Faye Hall. Those are two names we just want to continue to lift up in our prayers. You know, good things are happening in both those situations. Continue to see Joyce improve and Faye as well. So we just praise the Lord for answered prayers there and as they continue to recover from their different sicknesses. Also, I think we just want to continue to pray for all those that are dealing with colds and just nasty bugs that are passing around. It's even hit my own family now, and Deborah's not feeling well. So if you would, just lift her up in your prayers. And Aiden, he was sick last week, so I think all the family, especially if you got kids, you're pretty much prepared for it at this point that somebody's going to get sick. So we just pray that these things pass quickly and the kids get well and stay well. We're so glad to see Della back. Della's here this Sunday. She spent a little bit in the hospital getting better, but praise the Lord, she's here with us today. Brent, so glad that we're all glad that she's doing well, and we're glad you're back. Della, did you get a lot of stuffed animals in there at the, yeah, she's shaking her head, yeah. That was the bonus out of everything, right? The negative will be the bill, and Dad will deal with that. But Della, we're glad you're doing well, and we're glad you're back with us today. And Virginia, too, they kind of went through the same thing. They kind of all went through a sickness, and Della had the RSV, and so these things are just going around, and we just pray for the wellness of all our families and especially our children. So, other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Yeah, Vance, if you would continue to keep my granddad Vance not on your prayer list. He's going to be going for just a check on his heart. And so just pray that things go good there, and pray for my grandmother Pauline, too, if you would. Continue to lift them up in your prayers, please. Other prayer requests or praises? Okay, Gail, your dad. Continue to pray for Gail's dad and also her Uncle Thomas, who had been put on hospice. So if you would just remember those two family members of Gail. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to have our ushers come forward now and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord, our gracious, most heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Father, we come seeking with, Lord, thanks in our heart. Lord, we come seeking, though, with praise for who you are. Lord, we thank you for the love which we have received from you. Lord, we get up each morning and Lord, that love is fresh and new. Lord, we receive it and feel it every day. Lord, as we fall into temptation and we fall into sin, Lord, we know that you continue to love us and call us to repentance in our life. And Father, we confess this morning that, Lord, we have sinned. And Lord, we lay that upon your altar. We know that we have fallen short in our life in many areas. But Lord, we also know that your love is true and perfect and good. And Lord, if we come to you and confess those sins even now, Lord, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. And Lord, we confess them now. Father, forgive us of those wrongs which we have committed against you and others. And Lord, we receive now the full pardon of your forgiveness of sin within our life. Father, we thank you that you are a forgiving God and that, Lord, as much as we sin, Lord, you forgive. Not, Lord, that you desire for us to sin, but, Lord, that you are faithful to your love for each one of us, that your love is true and faithful. And, Lord, we can depend on it. Lord, we pray that our love for you is as faithful as yours is for us. Lord, help us to be better. Help us to do better. Help us to follow your word and your example of your son Jesus. And Lord, follow all his commandments and your commandments. Lord, we want to be that light that shines. But Lord, we can only do that if we're living a life where your son Jesus is shining through us. And Lord, we need your help to do that. Lord, we pray for those on our prayer list that need your hand of healing and your touch, Lord, of healing. We lift them up to you, Father, even now. And we thank you for all the good things that you are doing for those who continue to be on our prayer list. Lord, we pray too for the offertory this morning. Lord, as we can enter into this new relationship with the covenant brethren, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless Moscow, Lord, and that, Father, we would continue to be faithful to you in all our work and all our mission, Lord, and all our ministry. Help us, Father, I pray, to be a church that impacts the world around us, our community, our job places, Lord, our schools. Lord, let us shine that light. And Father, we thank you for blessing us with the courage and the strength to do so. Father, we praise you now. We pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' holy name. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's group, our children's church can be dismissed, our youth Sunday school. And Nancy, I'll just say that piece you played was beautiful during our offertory. Thank you, Nancy. It was very beautiful. Thanks to all those that are helping with the children's ministry. I want you, if you're still here with me, to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, Three Reasons to Believe is the title of this sermon. Looking at Acts chapter 26, 16 through 18. I want to preach this morning on a question that kind of popped in my mind. I think, too, it's a question that people are asking themselves today. Is why should I be a Christian? I think that's what the non-believers are asking themselves. Why should I be a Christian? What really is the point? What does it have to offer? What benefit? What purpose? What good does it do for me in my life to be a Christian? I think that's what non-believers are asking themselves. I think it's even a question, as I said, that popped in my mind of what people are thinking. Why should I be a Christian is what they're saying. And you know what? We as a church need to have an answer for that. We do have an answer for that. We do have an answer of why they should be a Christian, of why it's important, of what purpose it serves, of what good and benefit it brings to their life. We have the answers for that. I tell you, church, we just have to be better at communicating that answer. I think we've failed a whole lot as not just Moscow. I'm talking about the community of faith. I'm talking about the church abroad, here, local, all around the world. I feel like that at times we fail at communicating to the non-believers why it's so important to be a believer, why it is such a benefit to a person's life. Well, we're going to see here in the book of Acts with our friend Paul here of where Jesus talks to him and really gives him his marching orders of the answer of how he's supposed to go forth and wake people up with the Christian answer, with the Christian good news. Because we have a good answer, we just need to be able to share it with the world. And so look here at Acts chapter 26, picking up at verses 16 through 18. And Peter says, "Rise and stand to your feet." Maybe I'll just move back a little bit. Verse 15 there. Let's start at verse 15. "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?'" Now this is Paul kind of refraining his conversion story. And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." This is Paul hearing Christ talking to him on his conversion there on the road to Damascus. But he says, "Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appointed you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." Verse 17, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith." Here we have the marching orders of Paul as Jesus is talking to him and calling him to go and minister, to witness of the things that he had seen, to open their eyes or to call them to being awake of the things that were going on and the goodness that God had shown to all the world through His Son, Jesus. This unbelieving world needs to hear these good things. And God is saying here to Paul, go out and to share this good news that I have for you. You know, it seems that in this modern world in which we live, that a person has no place in their life for the gospel of Jesus. It's very sad, isn't it? That modern man thinks there's no place for faith or for Jesus in their life. But people still need Jesus, don't they? People today need Jesus. We need Jesus. People's lives need Jesus. Our children need Jesus. I just spent the last half an hour talking about the foundations of our faith, which of our life, which are right here in God's Word. We need Jesus. We need these foundational things. Our nation needs Jesus, doesn't it? We see today a world that is hurting. We see a people that is hurting. We see our nation hurting. And we say, they need Jesus. The solution, the answer is Jesus. More than ever today, we need Jesus. We see violence every day in our major cities and abroad. You no longer even feel safe, I think, traveling to some places in our own country because of the violence. We see a world that feels like it's on the brink of war. Financial systems that are struggling. Record inflation. 2 years of, two plus years of a health crisis, global health crisis. We just say the world needs Jesus. The answer is Jesus. More than ever, friends, we are a people in need of a Savior. But yet, we still see this great falling away happening in our world. You know, I read this heading from a Gallup poll that said, "America's membership in houses of worship continue to decline." It went on to say that it has now dropped, last year it dropped below 50% for the first time in the Gallup poll's 8-decade trend. Church membership is going down. In the very time when we need Jesus, we're seeing a great falling away happening. We see it that more than ever, people need Jesus. Our nation needs Jesus. And yet we're seeing a decline in the church and people's faith. First time in the Gallup's 8-decade trend, below 50%. In 2020, it was 47% in 2020 of Americans now say that they belong to a church. Down from 50% in 2018. And listen to this, 70% in 1999. You think about that. just in about 20 years, we have lost over 20% of the church. And I think we can see it. You just have to travel around and look who's sitting in the pews anymore, and we are definitely down. I remember going to church in the early 2000s. Churches were filled. A lot of people went to church. But that's continuing to decline, and more people are opting out of church membership and opting out of the church. What the data tells us is that less and less people are seeking Jesus. When we truly need Him, when our nation is in need of Him, people are turning away. They're failing to see the reason for Jesus in their life. And church, we need to start fixing this. We need to be better at communicating why church and why having faith, why having Jesus is so important. The blame falls right on our own front steps, doesn't it? It falls right in our own lap. We need to do a better job at telling people of why they need Jesus. And that's why we come here to Paul in the book of Acts, and where he is desiring for us to open the eyes. Now, these marching orders to Paul is our marching orders as well. This is to the church, right? The marching order is to the church, and Paul is a part of the church. We are a part of the church. He is calling us to open the eyes of the non-believers. It's our job as well. We're supposed to be opening those eyes around us to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the eternal consequences of sin, and to the blessed hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And God's seen here with Paul a generation of people who were asleep. A generation of people who were sleeping. And God is saying to Paul, you need to go wake them up. And that's, I think, how it looks very similar to today. We have a generation that is sleeping, and they need to be roused to being awake. Wake up. Wake up and see that there is a reason that you need Christ in your life. Okay, I want to show you here that God lays out for Paul, Jesus here lays out for Paul, three reasons that he should wake those around him. Really, three ways in which he can wake them. Number one, look there in verse 16. We are to wake them with the things which we have seen and the things which will yet, or which God, he says, I will yet reveal to you. Wake them with the things which you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you. Number one there really is that we as believers are supposed to be sharing our story. You know, everyone has a conversion story, don't we? Every conversion story is unique, and yet every conversion story should be the same. That we saw we had sin, we found ourselves without Christ, and we need in need of a Savior, and Jesus was that Savior. Listen, you have a story, a conversion story, a story of how God moved in your life, how there was a life you lived before Christ in sin, and a life now you live after finding Jesus and receiving Him into your life. That's your conversion story. That's how God moved in your life. There was a past life, a life of sin, and now there's a life of righteousness in Christ Jesus. It's not self-righteousness. That's what sometimes the non-believers believe, don't they? You're just a bunch of self-righteous people. We're not self-righteous. Our righteousness is through Christ, through His atonement upon the cross. That's where our righteousness is. It's not self-righteousness, but our righteousness is obtained through Christ and His finished work upon the cross. There is a prior life, a life of sin, and now a life of righteousness in Christ Jesus. That's our conversion, right? There was a life where we were lost, we were burdened by our sin. And now there's a life where we're free from our sin, our burden has been lifted off of us, and praise God, we're able to serve Jesus for eternity. That's a wonderful thing. Listen, nobody can debate you on your conversion story. You get into theology a whole lot. You can start talking all sorts of deep theological points to convert someone. But I tell you what's the best thing you can do. Just share your simple experience. My life before I found Jesus, which was a life of sin, a life of going from one sin to the next, a life of lostness, a life without purpose, a life without meaning, a life without a future. And then I found Christ. And praise God, I have a life now in Him. A much better life, a blessed life, a future, a purpose, a hope. I've received love when I wasn't deserving of it. I have forgiveness of sin, and on and on and on we go about how God has moved in our life. No one can debate you on what you've experienced and felt, can they? Can they doubt you on what you have experienced and felt for yourself? God says to Paul, you have an experience, you have a conversion experience. Now, maybe our conversion isn't quite as phenomenal as Paul's. Remember, he was on the road to Damascus and this great light appeared. And everyone was blind and no one else could see it. It knocked Paul plumb off his feet when God spoke, audibly spoke to God. Maybe our conversion didn't have God coming down in a light and speaking to us audibly, but it was for Paul. And that was his experience. And God said, go forth and share that experience. The things that you have seen, I want you to share that. The things that you have experienced, I want you to share that. Listen, ours might not be as grand as Paul's conversion, but we have a conversion nonetheless, don't we? We have a conversion. And while I said every conversion is unique, every conversion is the same. We were lost in sin. That's the same with Paul. He was persecuting the church. He was persecuting God. He says, why do you persecute me, Paul? And then he found Christ and he was saved. Listen, we have a conversion story and we need to get better at sharing that story with others around us. Listen, it shouldn't be something we're embarrassed of. It should be the grandest moment of our life. The best thing that ever happened, the moment we received eternal life. We received a Savior. The very best thing that happened to us. You know, you ever seen a new mother when they have a baby, a new father? Well, they want to share it with everyone. Not something that they are ashamed of. They're excited. They're happy. A new family has a baby. They're excited. They usually come here and announce it. And we celebrate it with them. It's something that is great and wonderful. That birth into Christ is something that is beautiful and wonderful, and we should want to share it with others around us. Share your story, the thing which you have seen. But also notice there, we are to share the things which I will yet reveal to you. Isn't that interesting? What's the one thing that Paul is kind of known for? What's the one thing that Paul is really known for? Listen, he wrote nearly 90% of our New Testament. Most all the books that you read in the New Testament, other than the Gospels, came from Paul. God spoke through him. He revealed through him God's Word. The things which I will yet reveal to you, I think it is what Jesus is talking about here, is the Word of God. Listen, we have our testimony, we share that with people, but we also have God's Word. And nothing replaces that, does it? Nothing replaces that. We share with people our testimony, but we also share with them the good news of Christ Jesus through His written Word. I tell you, friends, we've gotten away from the Bible in the church. And it's a shame. It's the one thing that we have that can convert people and teach them the truth. We have to be proclaiming the truth of God. And we do that through proclaiming the Word of God. We're to share our story and we are to share the good news of Christ Jesus. And that's what wakes a sleeping world. That's what Jesus is saying to Paul. You want to wake up the non-believers? Share with them the things which you have seen. Share with them the things which I am yet to reveal to you, which is God's Word. The truth of God wakes up a sleeping world. John said in chapter 8, or Jesus said in John chapter 8, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Church, we must be telling people the truths of God, the Word of God. The truth that we were sinners, but the truth that God sent His Son, His only Son, that whoever shall believe in Him should have eternal or shall have eternal life. God's truth is that we have been liberated, we have been emancipated from the bondage of sin, and that we are no longer to live under its bondage or its curse. Okay, number one, verse 16 there, show them the things which I have, or you have seen, and those things which I revealed to you. Number two, look at verse 18. We are to open their eyes with the forgiveness of sin and the knowledge that we can turn from darkness, turn from our darkness to the power of, and from the power of Satan to light, to light. Adrian Rogers, real wonderful preacher, Baptist preacher, he said this one time. He says, there are those that can preach the gospel better than I can, but there's nobody that can preach a better gospel than I can. Oh, I like that. There are those that can preach the gospel better than I can. Listen, I'm not much of a speaker. And there are those that are much better than I could ever attempt to preach. But they can't preach a better gospel, because the gospel is as good as it gets, isn't it? We can't change that. You can't add to that. We preach the same gospel. I preach the same gospel that Adrian Rogers preaches, and Adrian Rogers preaches the same gospel that another preacher preaches. There are might be other better speakers, those that preach the gospel better, but they cannot preach a better gospel. And that's the thing that we need to take to the people, right? That's the thing that rouses those non-believers to wake. The good news of Jesus Christ. You know what the good news is? Do you know what the good news is? Is that while we were once lost in sin, Christ, God sent His Son Christ Jesus into the world to die for our sins, to redeem us from our sins, to pay the penalty of our sins upon a cross, that we might have eternal life in Him. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Forgiveness of sin, the remission of past sins. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You want to wake up non-believers, you just need to tell them the good news. That's what we do. We take forth the good news. Salvation Army, years ago, they stood up on their soapbox. Before, they were just known as a place where you get discount furniture. You stood up on their soapbox and they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, there's been great revivals happen in America and Europe and all over the country. And how did it come about? They stood up and they started proclaiming the good news. That's the message we have. That's the message that we share, the message that we preach to the world around us, the good news of Christ Jesus. The church and those behind the pulpits need to get back to preaching the basic doctrines of the church. Back to the milk and honey of the Scripture. Not preaching so much on environmental issues or world peace or racial equality. None of these things matter, friends, when you go to hell. Nothing. You think racial equality matters in the pits of hell? There's too many pulpits that are preaching all that garbage, and they're not preaching the basics of the Christian faith, which is that we need salvation. We need the gospel. Without salvation, all these other things are meaningless and worthless. Think environmental issues matter in the pits of hell? You know one thing they're thinking about in hell? The one thing they're thinking about in hell is the good news that they passed up. That they didn't have to go there. That they could have missed that place altogether. If someone would have just told them, or if they would have just believed Jesus and His eternal salvation that was given for them. Preachers need to get back to preaching the good news. Back to the milk and honey of Scripture. We need to get back to preaching the Bible and what saves a man from hell. It's not environmental stewardship. Adrian Rogers once said, if you're looking for the devil, never fail to look in the pulpit first. Isn't that something? Puts a little heat on me, doesn't it? If you're looking for the devil, never fail to look in the pulpit first. He went on to add, I am firmly convinced that if we would just clean up our pulpits in America, it'd go a long way to cleaning up America. Just clean up the pulpits. I truly believe it. I think the pulpits have failed to preach the good news. They failed to proclaim the one thing that wakes up sinners into believers. They're too busy preaching too many other things, and they're not focused on the one thing that saves a person from hell and gets them into heaven. We need to get back to preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have sat in a church where they're preaching everything but the basic foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. And you've heard all sorts of wonderful things. All sorts of good flowery things that are wonderful, and maybe they make you feel real good. But if they haven't preached to you salvation through Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, then they have failed you. I tell you, I'm going to keep preaching the gospel here. If you don't like it, too bad. Because that's the one thing you actually need to hear. That's the one thing. Now, there's all sorts of good things that go along with that. We add all sorts of these other things. Yeah, it's good to love all people. It's good to be kind to the earth. These are wonderful things. But friends, they are secondary to the gospel. And in too many pulpits, they come first. Too many people sitting right in the pews of church leave this world and slip right into the gates of hell because they have failed, their minister has failed to proclaim clearly the gospel of Christ Jesus. Looking for the devil, never fail to look right in the pulpit first. Okay, last one, number three here. Look, verse 18. We are to wake them with the believer's inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. Boy, when did the church ever get away from telling people about heaven? It's like it's one of those things that we never talk about anymore. It's like the church is afraid to talk about hell, and they're equally afraid to talk about heaven. I think the reason they're afraid to talk about heaven is because then that shines a light on hell. If there's a heaven, there has to be a hell. If there's a hell, there has to be a heaven, right? And the reason that preachers aren't proclaiming because they don't want to talk about hell. They don't want to talk about sin. Listen, friends, we just left a denomination that does not want to talk about sin. They do not want to talk about what the Bible says is sinful. They want to make that everything is acceptable. It's all good. Just have a heart that is devoted. That's all you need, is a heart of devotion. That's not all that you need. To be a believer says you must repent of your sin. It doesn't say, just come devoted to me. That's not what the gospel proclaims. Don't just come devoted. There's a lot of churches that are preaching that if you just have a heart of devotion, that's all you need. And then they'll go on from there and say, well, you don't even need Jesus. You just need to have a heart of devotion for God. That's how all religions get to heaven, right? No matter if you're Muslim, if you're Christian, if you're Buddhist, it's just having a heart of devotion that gets you there. Boy, that is a lie from the pits of hell if it's ever been one. That's not what Jesus said. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the gospel truth. That's what we proclaim. That's what we teach. That's what we share. That's the gospel truth. We don't hear anything about heaven because they're afraid that they might have to talk about hell and they have to talk about the penalty of sin. And there's no talk about the penalty of sin today. Listen, church, we got to get back to talking about there is a hell, but there is also heaven. Praise God, and if you have Jesus, if you've received Him into your life, you can go there. He's promised it to you. He's declared it for you. He said it's yours. All you have to do is receive it. Wake people up. You can wake them up by sharing about the blessed hope that you have, the promise that you have received, that while you were yet sinner, Christ has saved you from your sins and you have an eternal inheritance waiting for you there in the lights. Isn't that great? That you have a mansion that God's been preparing for you. Oh, aren't we waiting for that mansion? Aren't we looking forward to that day in which we enter into that blessed kingdom? We hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here we receive you into the house of the Lord, and you will dwell with me forever and ever and ever." Isn't that wonderful? Aren't we waiting for that? Shouldn't we be telling the non-believers about what is laying ahead for us? Because we've received Christ and what they can have too. That's what wakes up people. And that's what the church has failed to proclaim. We've got to get back to preaching about heaven. Telling people about heaven. Talking to them about the good inheritance that believers have in Christ Jesus. Remember that old song? It says, "I have a mansion. I have a mansion just over the hilltop. In that bright land where I'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wonder. But walk on streets that are purest of gold." Isn't that we remember that old hymn, don't we? I heard the story behind that hymn that this pastor from, I think he was from Dallas, Texas, was driving through the countryside and he seen this old, horrible looking house. The roof was half coming off of it. Looked like it was ready to fall down. It was all in tattered. The shingles were coming off. It just looked like it was needed to be condemned. And there were a couple of young girls that were playing there in the yard. And, of course, they were poorly dressed and dirty. And this preacher stopped. He saw this situation. It looked so dire. He got out and said, you know, I talked to him a little bit and said, "I'm just so sorry for your situation. I see you're just living here in awful poverty." And the little girl that was playing in the yard said, "Oh, but you didn't hear?" And of course the preacher didn't know. What? And the little girl said, "Oh, my daddy has inherited a fortune." And he said, "Right now he's across that hilltop and he's building us a mansion. And while we live in this place right now," she said, "thank God we won't live here forever." And that's how the song came about. You read in the first verse of that song, it talks about having a little cottage. But then over the hill, there's a mansion that is waiting. And that's where the idea came from. I think the preacher was telling the story and another person heard the story and then wrote the song off of the preacher's story. Listen. Friends, we have a mansion that is waiting for us just over the hillside. Just over the hilltop, there is a mansion that is waiting for us. In that bright land where we'll never grow old, someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are purest of gold. Boy, we need to get back to basics, don't we, church? Get back to the basics of proclaiming the good news and waking up those non-believers. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this simple word this morning. Three ways in which we can help stir non-believers to coming to you, to receiving your faith, Lord, and receiving the inheritance which they have there in heaven, mansions beyond, just over that hilltop. Lord, thank you for this simple word. Help us to live that out, I pray. Help us proclaim this good news. And Lord, help us to reach the lost. Lord, that's what you desire from us as your church. Put within us again that desire to share with others the good news of Christ Jesus. Help us, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. And we pray for that organ, too, off there. Maybe I should have included that in my prayer. We'll just do the best we can, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's stand together in our hymnal to page 542 when we all get to heaven. Page 542. Let's stand together and sing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we will shout the victory on that day, Lord. We thank you so much that we look forward to the heaven that awaits us. Lord, we are excited about that day. And Lord, we pray that we can share with others that glorious kingdom that yet is to come for those believers, those saints that, Lord, are in Christ Jesus. Father, we praise you. Bless us, I pray, as we go this week. Encourage us to share this good news with other believers. Invite them here to church or to some church that they too might be a part of the kingdom of God. Father, bless us, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.